Kristen.
Oh, preciouses.
Kristen, it's River. What's its opinion? What's its opinion of the Hobbit?
Oh, my Rafer says sit down. No, I'm not talking. You're talking. Ah,
Shut up,
Rafer. Go back to the Shire, sis. I have a riddle to tell you.
I don't know. I think my golem is slightly better. I think my golem is slightly better than yours, Kristen.
I don't even think it's slight. I think it's majorly better. It's
right.
much better.
That's not bad. You sound more like maybe one of the dwarves. I don't know. In The Hobbit.
A dwarf or an elf?
A dwarf or an orc.
Or is it an orc.
Or is it a warg?
Oh.
A term I learned only after seeing The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, which is...
So unexpected.
Not just the biggest movie of this week, pretty much the only movie of this week, and really, I think, going to be one of the biggest movies of the year.
I think some people want it to be.
I think some people want it to be, too. You're right, Kristen. You're right. Okay.
But before we talk about it, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And this is Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. And this is Movie Date.
Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
All right, so before we get into The Hobbit, because there's a lot to talk about here. We've got to talk about not just this being a follow-up to Lord of the Rings, one of the most successful film franchises ever, and also The Hobbit being the first of another trilogy by Peter Jackson. It's also the first film ever to be shot and projected in digital 48 frames per second.
There's so much going on in this movie.
That's right. A lot of information. A lot of visual information. Twice the industry standard. The industry standard is 24 frames per second, for those of you who don't know. This is 48. Double the frame rate.
Yes. And it's actually also supersized as far as the length of the movie.
That's right. It's super size.
The length of the movie.
It's in 3D. You can see the thing in IMAX if you wish. It's in multiple formats.
There's a lot going on with this movie.
That's correct.
But first, trivia. We have a lot of trivia to get around to here. And one of the trivia questions dates to a couple of podcasts back.
Quite a while back.
We had some technical difficulties. Kristen Meinzer, sorry.
Oh, not your fault.
It kind of was. But you know what? We do the best we can. We're going to get right back up, going to get on that horse. So the trivia question we had a couple weeks back when we had our terrific Hitchcock guest on, talking about Hitchcock movies, the movie Hitchcock, we asked about Hitchcock memorabilia. There's been a lot of it out there, coffee mugs, T-shirts, posters, video box sets, the whole thing. But there's also been a Barbie doll, a commemorative Barbie doll made in honor of one of Hitchcock's movies. What was that movie? And here's the right answer.
Hi, I'm Matthew from Baltimore, Maryland, and the answer to your trivia question is the Tippi Hedren doll, Barbie doll for the birds.
Matthew, that is awesome. Great job, Matthew. That's terrific.
All right, we have one other trivia question we will reveal the answer to. This one was in honor of, I think it was last week's podcast, which was partly about the Fitzgerald Family Christmas.
Which you liked quite a bit.
Yes, which I liked, the new Edward Burns film. And given that it was about Irish Americans on Long Island, we asked what Irish American epic featured a half-Cuban actress as the female lead, and here is the answer.
Anything in your pockets tonight?
Oh, I ain't started working yet.
That is Cameron Diaz in Gangs of New York, Martin Scorsese's Gangs of New York.
So Irish.
Yes,
she's so Irish.
So Irish. She's so bonny.
Oh, she is. She's so bonny. Let's get into today's subject.
Okay.
The very important Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
What is it, precious? What is it?
My name is Bilbo Baggins.
Bagginses? What is a Bagginses, precious?
I'm a hobbit from the Shire.
Wow, that golem. Wow,
listen to that golem.
Listen to them. And that Hobbitses.
And that Bagginses.
Or Bagginses.
Yes.
Oh, boy. So much to talk about with this movie.
Well, tell me, I think we should both perhaps say where we stand on the Lord of the Rings films. These films were Potter-like in the mania that they inspired in the fandom. People love them. People love those movies. Oscar-winning. And, rare for a fantasy film to win an Oscar. Fantasy films, I think, are usually a little bit looked down upon by critics and Oscar types. But The Lord of the Rings was just widely, widely embraced. How did you feel about them?
I hated the Lord of the Rings movies. I absolutely hated them. They were too long. They were atmospheric, but didn't have a plot. I like a plot. You know what? I'm going to say it. I'm not in film school anymore. I can admit it. I like a plot, all right? You know what? A plot is great.
You don't have to please all those experimental types.
Screw the squiggly line filmmakers out there. I like a plot, okay? No. But something that you once said that described the Lord of the Rings movies, I just thought it was great. You said, they're walking for another half hour. Now they're getting attacked.
Yeah.
And they're walking around trees this time.
Right.
And now they're getting attacked. Oh, look, now they're walking through a heath. They're walking. Oh, and they got attacked. The end.
Yes. It's kind of true. I was never a big fan of them. I didn't hate them. They just kind of left me cold. I never felt that they didn't seem to bring anything that new necessarily to the fantasy genre. It almost seemed like, you know, my two favorite fantasy films were John Boorman's Excalibur and then also the Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan. And I think both of those. Conan the Barbarian.
Outstanding special effects.
Oh my God, that movie is unstoppable. That movie's so good. And those two movies, I think, brought something a little new, different, funny, over the top. Whatever you want to say about them, they were something new in the fantasy world. And I never felt that the Lord of the Rings seemed almost like a throwback, you know, to a very old, traditional kind of fantasy world. I didn't hate them. They left me a little cold. They weren't for me. And so, you know, I didn't really have any big, not being attached to them, I didn't have any very high expectations for The Hobbit or low expectations. I went in pretty much with an open mind. Sounds to me like perhaps you went in with your arms folded in grouchiness.
Oh, just like they are right now. If any listeners were in the studio now, they'd see my arms crossed.
I see.
Across my chest with some suspicion and anger.
Suspicion and anger.
Why are you wasting my time? Why are you doing this to me? Why is each movie 3 hours long? Why are there no females in any of these movies?
There's one female, Kate Blanchett.
Oh, that's great. One female out of a cast of thousands.
She's very pretty.
It's like the Smurfs, okay? These movies are like the freaking Smurfs.
Yeah,
you got the one female,
right.
A whole bunch of dudes. That's what you have.
Well, I think Peter Jackson knows where his bread is buttered.
You know what? If he knew where his bread was buttered, he'd put some chicks in there and maybe put them in some smaller costumes. A lot of the audience probably has never seen a woman before.
I think all right.
Up close, I mean.
I'm about to get into insult the triumph the insult comic dog territory, insulting the fantasy fans out there. I would say let's talk first about the 48 frames per second
technological breakthrough.
Yes, the breakthrough here. I mean, and this is not just technical mumbo jumbo. I think a lot of people might hear people throwing around numbers and who cares what the industry standard is for frame rates. It doesn't sound that exciting. But I will say to those of you out there, 48 frames per second is a huge, huge deal. It's normally 24. And this movie does not look like any movie you've ever seen in a theater, really.
But it does look like every video game you now play at home.
Yes. That, I think, is the unfortunate part. I was very curious to see whether this would just be my feeling. I'd heard some of the initial negative reactions on this film. They screened a little bit of this film at Comic-Con and did not get the reception that they wanted. The reviews were I don't know about largely negative, but they got many, many negative reviews of it. And people said it was cold and flat and lifeless and, you know, generally had a kind of an ugly look to it. I was prepared for something that looked crystalline and vivid. It wasn't sure if it would be a good or a bad way. And I was shocked at how horrible the film looked.
Horrible.
I was really
hated the
stunned.
Look as much as me.
I hated the look so much that it was impossible for me to concentrate on anything else that was going. I couldn't concentrate on what people were saying. I couldn't concentrate on the narrative, on whether or not
anybody...
Don't
worry, there's not a narrative.
Oh, God. All right. Now, wait a minute. We'll get to that, Kristen. We'll get to
that.
But I think I would say three things struck me about this film. One is that the 48 frames version, what they're calling HFR, high frame rate, three things struck me. One is that, weirdly, anything that's real, any prop, any actor just looks like a prop or an actor. And it's the swords look like they're made of tin. The armor has no heft. The castles look like little dioramas made of foam. Even the exteriors, which I thought was really interesting, the exteriors of New Zealand just look like someone's video of New Zealand. They don't look like mythical Middle Earth. They just look like documentary footage of a really nice mountainscape somewhere in New Zealand.
I have to agree with you. I think a lot of it almost looked like, you know, I love ABC Family, and you know I love the Lifetime Channel,
yes.
But the budgets that they work with looked superior compared to this at 48 frames. And I also think it gave me that creepy feeling that I get when I watch movies like The Polar Express, that uncanny valley feeling. Nobody looked quite human, and they didn't look quite cartoon. Everybody looked kind of just in between there and creepy, just totally creepy to me.
You mentioned that we were already on the takeaway today, and you mentioned that, and I have a theory as to why that is, and I think a big reason is that whenever the camera is moving, whenever the camera does a pan across a set or an exterior or anything, an interior, whatever, moving, whenever the camera is moving from point A to point B, there is absolutely no blur in the image whatsoever. Film, normal film, or even just 24 frames per second video, camera moves, you get a kind of a natural blur, which is what your eyes do as well. If you were to swivel your head from one direction to another, you get a little bit of blur.
So it's not acting like the eyes act, and that's what my issue is?
Exactly. And it makes it look like a video game. That's how video games look. Whenever the quote-unquote camera in a video game pans from one, you get a little bit of a...
That's why, because I said earlier, it's like a video game.
It looks like a video game, right.
Nothing. A really awful video game.
Everything looks so discreet. Every line is so crisp and so clear that it makes everything look fake. It makes everything look fake, and it also, I think, heightens your awareness of the fact that you're viewing everything through a camera lens. It takes you out of the world that you're supposed to be in.
I just never felt like I was in a world at all.
No.
I didn't feel immersed in any way in this movie. I felt the whole time, I am here. Should I take off my 3D glasses? And I did. Repeatedly, I took off my 3D glasses just to give my eyes a rest because it was so... And I found when I took off the 3D glasses... It was much better.
That's interesting.
Because it was so overwhelming and not in a good way.
The last thing I noticed about the film that was almost more than anything else was that the real victim of this process is light. Light in this movie never looks natural, even when it is. You see sunlight streaming through a window. It never looks like sunlight. It looks like a Klieg light. You see a campfire. You know what I mean? And it's a fantasy film, right? So you have many, many shots of people standing around campfires. And so you see the reflected glow of the campfire on their faces. And it just looks like an orange bulb that someone pointed at their face.
No.
Even the exterior shots, the sunlight never looks natural. You can't tell where it's coming from. It looks so diffuse and fake, even though you know it's the actual sun. It was really interesting.
If you want that, Rafer, you can just look at some Thomas Kincaid Painter of Light paintings, and you'll get the warmth there. You don't need it from this movie.
Oh, yeah. You know.
There are plenty of places to get light.
It's true. But you should be able to have... You don't want this sense that your entire film is taking place on a soundstage with a bunch of lights and cookies set up so that light's bouncing all over the place, and it's not coming from some natural source. At any rate, you did not see, I think, the 24 frames per second.
No, I really think it probably would have been in my best interest to have seen that version instead, because I saw the 48 version.
Yeah, there weren't that many. Warner Brothers was not offering that many screenings of the 24 version, and I say curiously because the 24 version, even though now that we've dumped all over the 48 version, most listeners are going to see the regular 24 version just like they would, because there are only 450 places in all of North America that are showing the high frame rate version.
Out of the thousands and thousands of theaters that are showing this movie.
Right, yeah. It's 4,000 or something that's opening up this film. So chances are you're going to see the regular old Hobbit. I will say, I went and saw about an hour, a little less than an hour of the regular version, and I will say it was like magic. All of a sudden, I was back in a movie, and the costumes looked like costumes. They looked, I mean, the costumes looked like they were lived in, like they had, they looked like they had dirt in them. The swords looked heavy. The castles looked good. The exteriors looked grand. I was able to concentrate on people's performances. The light looked better, and just everything about it. I mean, it was like magic. All of a sudden I was back in a world that felt like it was being lived in, and I could live in it too. And
sounds beautiful.
I enjoyed the movie much, much more. And ultimately, I gave it a 3 out of 4 star review.
What?
I thought it was a totally solid,
you're kidding,
good, well-done fantasy film. I'm not a fantasy fan, and
really?
So I'm being maybe a little kinder to this movie than I would normally. But I feel like this is a good, solid fantasy film from Peter Jackson that Peter Jackson fans are going to enjoy.
No.
You say no, Kristen.
No. There are a few issues here. I'm going to, beyond the technology, which is awful, I'm going to talk about the pacing of the movie.
Okay.
This is a children's book that
right.
is now being broken up into a trilogy of films.
Right.
And because Peter Jackson is trying so hard to be loyal to the book and to the fans and include every single word that's in that book,
including appendices that most fans probably have not even
yes,
read.
Every scene,
he's lifting material from everything.
Here's the page number, table of contents.
Right.
Every single thing is in here. Some fans might like that, but some fans, I'm sure, even if they are super fans, don't need every single second of everything in the book in here. I can say, as a non-fan, it drove me nuts. I felt that the whole movie was set up to be a big, long introduction to what this trilogy is going
yeah.
to be. But the introduction could have been 15 minutes for all I care. I don't need the introduction to be 3 hours. Most of this movie just felt like a really drawn-out introduction.
I think, again, that Peter Jackson is playing to a base here. The one thing that I know about the Lord of the Rings trilogies is that despite being whatever they were in their original release, somewhere in the 9-hour range, people, that just wasn't enough. I think the last time I checked, when I was putting together a holiday gift guide of DVDs for people, there was a box set of Lord of the Rings, and I believe the total running time now was 18 hours.
Oh, good God.
And the thing is, people want it. And Peter Jackson knows that, and he is happy to give it to them. And I think the length on this particular film did not bother me that much. I was okay with that. And I would say that this film, the only place where I see Peter Jackson fans maybe being not quite as happy is that this movie feels much more childlike. It almost feels like a kid's movie
to me. It does feel a lot like it's kind of a scary kid's movie, I will
yeah,
say.
Yeah, and there is some gore and
yeah.
plenty of violence.
I wouldn't actually bring kids to this movie, but it still feels like a kid's
not
movie.
Not a very, very young kid, that's for sure. But it does, you know, Martin Freeman, who is plays the young Bilbo Baggins, I thought very endearing and in a childlike way. He's a childlike creature.
Yeah,
he's small. He looks up to Gandalf,
too.
The wizard. You know, he's looking for approval from the dwarf leader. He's on an adventure for the first time with the big boys, the tough guys, and he wants to be a part of that. And it's a childlike narrative, a lot more humor and a little more silliness in this one than the other Lord of the Rings
Too
films?
Too much silliness.
Really? I found that refreshing. I found the Lord of the Rings films so self-serious that I started laughing at them. And in this one, I felt like there was enough humor that I could laugh with it. I'm not saying the humor was all brilliant, but...
No, Benny Hill is more brilliant. That's right. I just pulled out the Benny
Hill.
Well,
Benny Hill is brilliant, as it happens. but there are some kind of Three Stooges moments, the trolls that try to barbecue the dwarves.
Three Stooges, they're so good.
The Three Stooges are brilliant too.
Actually, not at all. Not even a little bit.
But so there's, I do feel personally, I kind of responded to that. I responded to the childishness, the childlike spirit of the film. I responded to that and enjoyed that because it seemed so much less kind of, you know, stentorian and grand than the old Lord of the Rings films, which I found a little insufferable. And this one seems much more
what is that voice?
Modern. That's my, you know, that's my, I don't know what that voice is. But I generally liked it. I thought it was good, solid, worthwhile fantasy film, and I think fantasy fans will enjoy it.
So it's a good date.
I would say if you're a fantasy fan, it's a pretty good date. I imagine, you know, that Lord of the Rings fans, nothing is ever going to really compare to those movies for them. But I think this is a really worthwhile undertaking for Peter Jackson, and I think people are going to like it. I think people are going to get into it.
Well, I say it's a horrible date. The pacing, the length of it, the fact that it feels that it has no plot. You're wandering around for 3 hours on a quest where there's no strategy, there's no clues, there's nothing that takes from A to B to C. Nothing. There's not that progression of. It's just like we're wandering around for 3 hours.
The map with the moon runes that can only be read by moonlight, those are
just
clues.
Just coincidentally,
those are clues,
tonight
Kristen.
The moon is out at this place. Okay.
Ah, yes.
All right. So I'm saying it's an awful date, and I'm going to confess something here, Rafer. I fell asleep twice during the movie. My friend had to wake me up at one point because I was snoring too loudly. And when I woke up, I was so mad because all of the hobbits and everyone on screen, they were sleeping and they were snoring too. So I think she just woke me up because she thought I was snoring loudly, but it was really the characters on the screen.
Wake up, Mindserses. Wake up.
Rafersis, my preciouses. It was a very bad day, preciouses.
It's a good date.
It was such a bad day.
All right, Kristen, give us the trivia and we'll get out of this Hobbit. We'll get out of the Shire.
Oh, what is the trivia this week?
Oh, the trivia was about...
In honor of the Hobbit, a lot of people, a lot of companies, a lot of people trying to make money are very, very excited about the Hobbit. One airline was so excited about the Hobbit that it remade all of its in-flight safety videos so that all the flight attendants that are featured in the video are themselves hobbits and elves. Which airline has the special safety video with all hobbit airline staff?
I like that. if you know, give us a call, 5717 movies,
or log on to facebook.com/moviedatepodcast.
One day Bilbo was asked to go on a big adventure to the caves below to help some dwarves get back their gold that was stolen by a dragon in the days of old. Bilbo Baggins, only 3 feet tall. Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll. He riddled with Gollum. A magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the Elf King's halls. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Now he's back in his home in the land of Shire, that brave little hobbit whom we all admire, just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, puffing on his pipe in his hobbit hole. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall.